Check, check, check. Now let's see. Let's flatten that out. That's a little too much bass. I think check, 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 check. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Now let's put a little bit of mid-range in it. Check. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. 1, 2, 3. Check. Check, check. Yeah, and let's keep a little more power on the guitar than the voice. Check, 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 check. Just got a transient right there. All right. I remember 3 years ago I did this workshop with a garbage bag over my head with three holes cut in it. How many of you were here? All right. I figured if you could sit in the rain, I could, by God, sit in the rain. Stand in the rain. Doris, do we have somebody coming up right after this workshop for the stage? At 1. Okay. So I've got an hour and I'll do a disciplined show.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, puff, puff until you smoke yourself to death. Tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate you just hate to make him wait. You gotta have another cigarette.
I'm a fella with a heart of gold and ways of a gentleman. I've been told kind of a guy wouldn't even harm a flea.
Yeah, but me and a certain character met the fella invented a cigarette and murdered that son of a gun in the first degree. Ain't because I don't smoke myself, I don't reckon it'll hinder my health. I've smoked them all my life and I ain't dead yet. Nicotine slaves are all the same. At a petting party or a poker game, everything gotta stop while I have another cigarette. Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, puff, puff till you smoke yourself to death. Tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate you just hate to make him wait. You gotta have another cigarette.
Pick it, white trash. Alright.
Well, the other night I had a date with the prettiest little thing in the old state, a hybrid uptown fancy little dame. Said she loved me and had seen to me everything going the way it ought to be. So hand in hand we strolled down Lover's Lane. She's oh so far from a cake of ice, and our petting party was going nice. So help me, Hannah, I believe I'd have been there yet. I give her a kiss, a little squeeze. She said, "Hoss, excuse me, please. Just gotta have another cigarette." Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, puff, puff until you smoke yourself to death. Tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate you just hate to make him wait. You gotta have another cigarette. You gotta have another cigarette. Thank you.
sing this with me if you want.
Use it up, wear it out, make it do, do without. We can't pay for the things you want to buy. Wear your old faded jeans, they are patched but they are clean. Walk proud, my son, and hold your head up high. We lived away back in the hills with the bears and the whippoorwills. Closest store was 35 miles away. Though I'm now a full-grown man, if I close my eyes I can hear the words my mother used to say. Use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. We can't pay for the things you want to buy. Wear your old faded jeans, they are patched but they are clean. Walk proud, my son, and hold your head up high. Now I've got a son of my own, he's even got his own telephone. Seems like I buy him something every day. Got everything money can buy, still it makes me want to cry. Cause I know he'll never hear his mother say. Use it up, wear it out, make you do or do without. We can't pay for the things you want to buy. Wear your old faded jeans, they are patched but they are clean. Walk proud, my son, and hold your head up high.
That was written by Florida's Don Grooms. It's a wonderful song, and I think that's really what the Florida Folk Festival is all about. Well, I first came to Habersham County looking for a connection. I went down there to score a kilo of grit. Now, we did not have a great many ways to expand our consciousness in those days. Smoke a few grits, sniff a little tractor oil, strain sterno through Merito bread and drink it. Every now and then for a mind-bending, hallucinatory, psychedelic trip in search of the vaunted and mystical white light of ultimate ontological reality. We'd roll up some crimped kudzu vine in the testimonial section of the Watchtower and smoke it. All them old boys getting into pills when I left those parts. Black beauties, bennies, uppers, downers, quaaludes, two buffering tablets, and a bottle of ginger ale. Shake it up and drink it. Blow the top of your head off. It's powerful stuff. I saw Still Bill pour some of that stuff in his belly button and his rear end fell off. And what did I find when I got there? Some strange and sorry folks. Well, sorry is as sorry does, I say. Those old boys hanging around Arendelle's loading ramp, swapping those lies. Bill saying, yep, I come from a big family, 14 boys, 26 girls, three others. Times were hard where I came up. Remember a hobo coming up on my granddaddy's porch looking for a handout? He'd give up in despair when he encountered the family cat eating an onion with tears in his eyes. Agamemnon saying, "Shell, yeah, was such hard times where I grew up out in Snipes Ford. Folks used to save their coffee grounds and boil them white and eat them for grits." Hard times everywhere you look. Now, if you want to get to heaven, I'll tell you what to do. You got to grease your feet in some mutton stew and slide out of the devil's hand and ooze over to the promised land. Take it easy, son.
Take it easy, but take it greasy. Let the rough end ride and the slick end slide. That's Habersham County laissez-faire. And I'm down in the hen house on my knees. Thought I heard a chicken sneeze. Oh, just the rooster saying his prayers, thanking the Lord for the hens upstate. All the roosters praying and the hens are laying, and the little pullets just plugging along the best way they know how. Look here. That took me a wife a year ago. Got a little boy now, about four. He gets up the table, slaps his ma, rubs syrup in my ears, says, "Ain't you my pa?" Runs string beans up my nose. Mustard, greens, fat back, chitlins, collards, and grits all over the walls and the floor. Cute kid, but he's messy. Boy's so mean, you give him a banana to play with, and he can bust a ball bearing with it. Kid's so ugly, he has to ambush breakfast. And old Agamemnon Jones is one of the first people I met down there in Habersham County. He's a philosopher, among other things. Some people refer to him as a mere pragmatist, because he says life is what happens to you while you're making other plans. He is a man of mixed virtue. Some folks say he's sorry. Some folks say he's a philosopher. Some folks just misunderstand him. The daughters of the Confederacy got together and railroaded Agamemnon into a series of pastoral counseling classes at the Episcopal Church, trying to wear down the rough edges a little bit. He attended one such meeting. He's hanging around the loading ramp, and somebody says, "Well, Agamemnon, what did you learn over at the Episcopal Church?" He said, "Well, I'd say from what I saw there that an Episcopalian is somebody who would do anything for the love of God as long as it's not tacky." That boy's a mess. I hear you. How could I help it? But I've got the microphone. Well, now nobody liked the way I talk, so I went out and I took me a walk. I went to some institution. I got them to teach me elocution. How now, brown cow? Right now, green bull. Old Agamemnon and the boys hanging out on the loading ramp. Some of the times they talked about themselves. Some of the times they talked about each other. But most of the times they talked about their neighbors. Talking about the neighbor who was so sorry that he wouldn't raise a finger to help his own family. Day in and day out he lay in catatonic recumbency in a hammock, tended by his youngest child, a girl. A seven-year-old brought him tea and lemonade, and yet another fanned his indolent brow with a fan purloined from the Presbyterian Church. His brother-in-law worked the fields, and his wife tended his invalid mother upstairs in the big house, and day in and day out he lay in catatonic recumbency. And as the wind whispered amongst the pecan trees of the yard, so did the neighbors whisper amongst themselves in the manner of neighbors the world over. They worried about his immortal spirit. They trooped up onto the porch, and they showered him with entreaties, with remonstrances. They begged, they cajoled, they said, "Rise up, brother, rise up and work. Don't you know it is man's common lot to work by the sweat of his brow and earn his daily bread?" But their respondent was unresponsive. The wind whispered in the pecan tree, and the others went away dispirited. The community was rent with confusion and some despair. There were vigils and prayer meetings on his behalf, and nothing seemed to help, for day in and day out he lay as before, unresponsive. And finally, the men drew shamefacedly apart from their women. The community was rent with schism. They trooped up onto the porch as vigilantes. They said, "Brother, your day of judgment is at hand. Either you rise up and work, or we're going to take you out and bury you alive." And the wind whispered in the pecan tree. And seemingly of its own volition, the hammock resumed its lazy oscillation. The others shrugged. They unhooked the hammock at either end, carried it swinging down the steps across the yard, and folded it into the waiting casket. They were driving away. They were halfway to Boot Hill. Another neighbor came down the way. He knew nothing of these events. He said, "What is your grim burden, and where are you bound?" They said, "This one has been reckoned by a tribunal of honest men to be the square root of sorriness. He won't work for his people. We're going to take him out and bury him alive." "No, you can't do it," said the other. "It's a Sabbath. It's a day of charity. Let me speak with him. I think I can bring him around." He drew nigh the casket. He said, "Brother, hear me and hear me well, for I have a lesson of import regarding charity. I have 500 bushels of corn. I'll give you. What do you say to that? Why, you can sell it off for profit and feed and clothe your family, or you can lay it by and feed your stock over the winter, or you can have it milled and sell it for profit again and pay your rent. What do you say to that?" And as tenuously, as torturously, as the creaking of the farthest hinge point of a mighty glacier, came this tortured reply from the sepulchral depths of the casket: "Is that corn shucked?" "No, it's not shucked," he said. "Drive on, drive on, drive on," came the voice from the casket. And that, my friends, is the square root of sorriness. Roy Bookbinder's here today and will be here for the rest of the festival. A great old-time blues player. We'll be doing some workshops together. And I hope you'll come around and hear the guitar workshops too and meet Roy. He'd kind of like this song, I think. "Got the blues from Baby Lynn by the Frisco Bay, in an ocean liner going so far away. I didn't mean to treat her so bad. She's the best gal I ever have had. Will I say goodbye like make me cry? I believe I'm gonna lay right down and die. Well, I ain't got a nickel and I ain't got a lousy dime. If she don't come back, I believe I'm gonna lose my mind. Never come back to stay. Gonna be another brand new day. Just a walk with baby down by the Frisco Bay. I'm standing by my back door just to wonder which way to go. Cause a woman I love so much don't care for me no more. I think I'll take a freight train because I'm feeling blue. And ride all the way to the end of the line just thinking about you." Just walking with my baby down by the San Francisco Bay.
There I was, trying to make a living in the Terminal Tavern. What a skull orchard. Walls of pecky cypress and pine wood, adorned with frontier memorabilia, mint condition tire tool collections, glutinous spirals of flypaper corkscrewing down through the murky atmosphere, barnacled with chittering bats, streaming down the steaming atmosphere, a million shattered dreams that dangled like declensions of despair. And the daily drunks line the walls like lemmings in repose, the festering booze assaulting their entrails like time-release suicide. And out the front door, a tenuous tongue of smoke. The Terminal Tavern. And barely hanging on against the wall was this old boy, and I could tell by the tatter-ran appearance of his sleazy raiment, by his bug-eyed expression, by his puzzle-gutted posture, his slew-footed stance, and his coiffure looking as it did like a box of shredded wheat come to grief in a hailstorm. By these and other salient significations, I could tell that he was indeed sorry. Now, I'm fixing to tell you what sorriness is. Sorriness is hanging around Arendelle's Purina store saying, I'll be 53 years old this month. I believe I'll get married in 1982. I'm tired of holding my stomach in. Sorriness is the time Still Bill walked into Mulligan's fruit stand and said, who owns a Great Dane out there? Well, I do, said a stranger. Yes, yes, yes. I tethered my beast out there a moment ago. Fine animal, been to obedient school, never heard it. He's dead. What, my dog's dead? What do you mean he's dead? My dog killed him. Good God, man, what kind of an animal do you... Chihuahua. How could a chihuahua kill a great... I believe he's stuck in his throat. Now, that's sorry. Here I am trying to make a living in this place. And every 15 minutes, this yin-yang goes off in the corner. He says, boy, play something by Johnny Cash. I said, buddy, I'm a folk singer. As such, I deal in eternal verities. I am a trafficker of universal truth. I am a pusher of the categorical imperative. And I am bullish on cosmic fiat. And I do not cotton to that country crap. He said, well, lay off the verbal flatulence and do something. I am tired of this vainglorious rigmarole. So I played him a folk song. Was of a Sunday morning when the bluebirds began to sing. You could hear those hammers a mile away. You could hear John Henry's hammer ring. You could hear John Henry's hammer ring. The captain said to John Henry, gonna bring me a steam drill round. I put that steam drill out on the job. Now whop that steel on down. Whop that steel on down. Keep it in time and look cool. It's the last guitar I'll ever buy at a Stucky stand.
Well, John Henry's mother lay asleeping, and then knelt down beside her bed. Said he beat the steam hammer to the top of the hill. Now your poor Johnny is dead. Now your poor Johnny is dead. There's some say he's born in Texas, and there's some say he's born in Maine. I don't give a damn where that poor boy was born. He was a steel-driving man. He was a steel-driving man. And then he came forth. He looked me in the eye with a look of supreme intensity. And I had seen that look before. Where was it? Where was it? And then I remembered. They say you can't go home again. That's what they say. And yet I tried how I tried. First, I followed my musical dream to many-towered Manhattan. Struggled, endured, prevailed. Came back home peacock proud, a survivor. Hanging out at Arundale's loading ramp, up comes Still Bill. He says, "It's you. Hi, Bill. Where you been?" "New York, Bill." "Doing what?" "Working, Bill." "Gam, there were some of us around here didn't have to leave home to get work. And when I hear this kind of fulminating lunacy, I am once again reminded that there is only one true sanctuary in this vale of tears on that long road from the heart to the highway's end. And that's to go back, back, back to the songs your mama sang you when you had an earache. Back through the years I go wandering once again, back to the seasons of my youth. I recall the box of rags someone gave us, how my mama put those rags to use. There were rags of many colors, everyone was small. I didn't have a coat and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, sewing every piece with love, made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore, and then she said, "Perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness." And I couldn't wait to wear it. Mama blessed it with a kiss. In my coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Well, I know we had no money, I was free as I could be, in my coat of many colors my mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors I hurried off to school, just to find the others laughing and making fun of me, in my coat of many colors my mama made for me. No, I could not understand it, for I felt I was rich, and I told them of the love my mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the story mama told me as she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their gold. But they could not understand it, and I could not make them see that one is only poor, only someday if they choose to be. Well, I know we had no money. I was rich as I could be in my coat of many colors my mama made for me.